Good early morning. So we kick off a few Sundays of talking about relationships and love, and boy, this week is busy, huh? Tuesday, Mardi Gras. Wednesday's Ash Wednesday for our Catholic friends, and Valentine's Day. And then Easter and April Fool's Day is on the same day, too. Interesting year already. Learning to love and be loved. There was a pet store truck going down the road, and every time he'd get to a stoplight, guy would jump out, run around the back with a 2x4, bam, 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 in across the back door, jump back in and run to the next stop sign. Get to the next stop sign, jumps out again, hits the back door, takes off, gets in the truck, goes to the next stop sign. Guy behind him is so curious, what's going on with this? So he pulls up beside him. Man, what are you doing? Every time you stop, you get out and beat the back door with a 2x4. He said, this is a 2-ton truck. I have 4 tons of canaries in here, and I have to keep half of them flying all the time. It's kind of like our life sometimes. Sometimes we just keep things juggled up in the air. Sometimes we don't know what to do, and it affects our relationships. Sometimes we try to control people. We try to control issues. We try to control situations. All of these things for our benefit, for our liking, so that we feel comfortable. And all the while, it's killing our marriage and it's killing our relationships with other people. What if we truly allowed God's love to dominate our relationships? Truly dominate our marriage. Yeah, we love God, but I mean dominate our marriage. What difference would it look like? We would find healing for those old hurts, decisions we've made. We would find this love that is beyond anything we ever imagined. If we truly allow God, listen, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking truly allow God to saturate our marriage, saturate our relationships. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. Mother Teresa said, love is a fruit in season at all times, and within reach of every hand. Learning to truly love one another in our relationships. Truly learning to love our spouse as Christ would have us love. See, a healthy relationship basically is three things. It's passion, which is eros or erotic love, plus intimacy, which is philo, which is affection, and commitment, which is agape love or spirit love. So there's three things that benefit us and all have to come together to first to understand true, healthy love in our relationships and our marriage. 1 John chapter 4 tells us about God's love and how God's love brings all of these things together for us. Beginning in verse 7. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And if we've seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, and if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, as we look into your word and begin to understand more about how to help have a healthy relationship, it always begins with you. Teach us, God, this morning. Teach us something that we maybe need to be reminded of. Maybe it's something brand new and fresh for us, so that we can have kind of relationship and a marriage that you call for us to have and desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So when a healthy marriage is found its foundation on Christ and God's love, we find that there are some things that exist there and things that we need to grow through. And the first thing that we see in a healthy relationship, a healthy marriage, is unconditional love. Because unconditional love comes from Christ. Our love, our lives are being transformed by God's unconditional love, springing forth in divine favor to our souls. Verse 7 and 8 told us, my dear friends, we must love each other. Love comes from God. And when we love each other, it shows that we have been given new life. We are now God's children, and we know him. God is love, and anyone who doesn't love others has never known him. John reminds the church that genuine love is always defined and always founded in the love of God. The love that we have for us, that genuine love that we share with other people, is always defined in God. Any love exerted through human efforts or human emotions apart from God is always founded in selfishness. When someone says, I love you, but listen, it's not founded on God's word. It's not founded in the love that God has for them. It's not founded in what God is doing in them. Understand, it is a selfish motive behind that, trying to get something from you. Selfish approach to marriage and relationships will not be connected in giving, but rather in taking. What's in it for me? Sadly, at least 50% of Christian marriages suffer from this selfish mindset. Many people, Christian people, marry and go through this relationship with their spouse, and they're selfish the whole time. They never truly understand that marriage is about giving yourself away, not in what you can get. It's about giving and giving and giving. Not about what this marriage can do for me, but rather what I can contribute. A selfish mentality does not acknowledge nor thrive in unconditional love. Selfishness is always connected with conditions in a relationship. I will be with you as long as you, there's a blank and you fill it in. See, then some conditional request is tagged to a contract of relationship. See, God loves us unconditionally. I'm glad God didn't say, well, if you do this, this, and this, and this, I'll love you. If you act this way all the time and behave this way all the time, I'll love you. I'm glad God didn't tell us that. We would never know the love of God if he did. God does not drop us or divorce himself from us because we have disappointed him. God demonstrates unconditional love and unselfish love, and he pours out his love into our souls to free us to pour his love into others. We must grasp God's concept of love and accept his love into our own lives so that we can permanently fix this agape love in our own foundation and use it as a measuring mark of how we pour love into others. It was said by Eric Fromm, he said, love means to commit oneself without guarantee. To give oneself completely in the hope that our love will produce love in the loved person. Lovers, love is an act of faith. And whoever is of little faith is also of little love. So getting this concept that our marriage, our relationship is really founded and saturated with the love of God, that unconditional love that He pours into us, it's always for us to give away. Because if we're trying to generate the love from within, remember last week we talked about that old nature coming back, that old nature resurrecting? Listen, it will quickly resurrect in our lives if we're trying to formulate relationships in our own power. It always has to be a godly type of love, that unconditional love that's poured into us, that comes up, overflows, and we pour into someone else. The second thing we see is that love is a choice of the will. It's not just an emotion. You know, it's not just your heart beating real hard and you get sweat, you know, little clammy palms and goosebumps. No, love is really a choice of the will. See, love is an act of the will which cannot be manipulated or coerced, but must flow freely from one person to another who willingly receives its transforming power. Love always has to make a connection. 1 John 4:9 tells us that this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. God demonstrated His love in a tangible way. He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to provide the way to salvation. And Jesus lived a sinless life and died to pay a debt of sin for your life and for mine. And He's resurrected to set our souls free from sin's bondage. Jesus' selfless example of love and compassion is a choice of His will. Jesus went to the cross for you and for me unconditionally as His own choice of will. And for our own lives, listen, love is a conscious choice of our will. To love someone else, to pour ourselves into their life, to invest ourselves in them, is really a conscious choice of our will, powered by the Holy Spirit, to love others, love our spouse, love our kids. See, love moves beyond a thought or a feeling or an obligation. True love is the action of investing yourself in another person without reservation. Love with commitment is always a risk. Love with commitment is always a risk. When you say I do to your husband or I do to your wife, listen, that's a risk. That is always comes with risk. When God sent His Son to the cross to die for our sins, listen, that was a risk. That was a risk that no one would ever say yes, or that millions would reject Him. We open ourselves up like Christ with unconditional love, a choice of our will, knowing that when we send our love out, there might be somebody that's going to disappoint us. Part of the vows that couples repeat to each other in weddings that I officiate is to love enough to risk being hurt. See, to claim that we love another person, yet we put reservations on that love, is really not true love. That we have to open ourselves up, knowing that we run the risk of being disappointed. But it's still a choice of our will to love them anyway, in spite of the risk. We must be like Christ Jesus and to love others without a guarantee of ever receiving the same or better love in return. You know, we like warranties today. We like guarantees. But marriage, in its lifetime commitment or covenant, comes with risk. There's no guarantees. We can express true love and full knowledge that at some point our marriage partner may disappoint us or reject us and begin to act uncaring and unselfish and selfishly. Only through the love of God can we invest ourselves to love another person with the intent of pouring 100% of ourselves into the relationship without a guarantee. Only the love of God can do that. Can pour us into us and us pour into someone else, knowing that they may reject us. Maybe 5 years, 10 years, 15 or 20 years down the road, but they may still reject us. They may not accept the love that we are pouring out to them. Love always comes with risk. And it's always an act of our will. The third thing we see is that the gift of grace to yourself and to others. So love should be unconditionally. It's a choice of our will. And we also know that it requires grace. To love in a relationship always requires grace. If you're not willing to be graceful to someone, you are not ready for a relationship. Because a person will disappoint you. It may be small things. It may be something very large. And it requires a lot of forgiveness, a lot of give and take on both sides. See, grace is an attitude of the heart and an act of the will in which a person's wrongs are released to God's control for his sovereign favor and justice. We see in verse 10 says, real love isn't our love for God, but his love for us. God sent his son to be sacrificed by which our sins are forgiven. See, God demonstrates his grace to us in Christ Jesus. He loves us even though we have acted very unlovingly. His grace pours in our lives and he showers forgiveness for our failures and our sins. Boy, if we can just imitate Christ in what he's done to forgive us, to give us grace, if we could just imitate that in our relationships. Past the emotions, past the hurt, past all those things. Yes, we will be disappointed from time to time. But man, can God's grace begin to heal and begin to bring forgiveness? See, we must truly understand how God's grace and forgiveness cleanses our soul and heals our wounds for our lives caused by others as well as ourselves. See, this is a key thought and a basic principle to truly allow God's love to flow through us. That forgiveness given to us is giving forgiveness to others in our behalf makes all the difference in a relationship. So the forgiveness that God gives to us is for our benefit so that we can turn around and give grace and forgiveness to someone else. When we refuse to forgive someone, we must remember that Christ did not refuse to forgive us. Have you ever thought how many times you stepped out on Jesus? How many times you've disappointed God? And we go to him with unconditional love, and we pour out our heart before him, and he forgives us for what we've done. But it's amazing when our husband didn't take the trash out. You thought World War III was coming. Or our wife burnt the supper. Or didn't cook because she's tired from her daily routine. And we get aggravated, we get frustrated with over small things like that. Arguments over money. There's so many things in relationships that can just go crazy. How many are going to be disappointed on February 14th? Because you didn't get a flower. You didn't have that special meal. And I'm not trying to belittle anything that a husband and a wife exchanged. That's wonderful. But life is much bigger than that. Much bigger. Giving grace to one another through those small things, but also in the big things. Listen, grace and forgiveness is always a choice that you make. Sometimes it takes your feelings a little while to catch up with it, but it's always a choice. A choice that you're going to allow God to heal and restore. And that starts there. Now, you may not feel like you've forgiven them till here, somewhere down the line. There are too many Christians who ignore their need to forgive others and heal their wounds. We are wounded by the things that we've gone, that have been done against us. Listen, we all have wounds. It's one thing, Sarah, we're all in recovery, right? We're all in recovery. Whether we want to admit it or not, we're all in recovery for something. Now, whether we come on Friday nights or not, we're all in recovery from something, things that happened. It may have been something that a teacher said to us in elementary school that has marred the way that we think about things. It could be the way our parents treated us. It could have been something that someone really done and violated us. There are so many things. We're really all in recovery. You'll be amazed at how many things that have happened to us as a child affects everything that we do the rest of our life. Decisions that we make. I mean, things sometimes that parents thought were good and really tried to be very legalistic even in raising their children going to church. Oh, no, you have to be at church this time, this time, this time, this time. And boy, force them to be there. And when that kid gets out of school, you know what? They're gone. Because we miss showing them how much God really loves them. See, people in recovery for everything. Learning forgiveness. Learning grace in relationships. Learning to forgive ourselves for so many mistakes we make. See, our wounds affect the way we see ourselves and the way that we treat other people. The wounds that we've incurred or that we've brought upon ourselves are kind of like these glasses. You know, everything's a little jaded now because I look good too, though, for the camera. But it affects everything we see. And so when we've affected by a wound in our life, when we go into a relationship, we go into a marriage, we go into a dating situation, fiancé situation, all of that, it's amazing how what happened to us, even as a child or a teenager, or decisions that we've made here, affects how we see that person that we're marrying. We'll see them the same way that we see ourselves. If we're disappointed in ourselves, if we hold ourselves to this high expectation of perfection, we'll start seeing our spouse the same way. We'll hold them to some unrealistic expectation. It's amazing. And all Jesus is trying to say, listen, you need to give yourself some grace. You need to forgive yourself for the things that you've done in the past, for the mistakes you've made, and you need to give some grace to those around you who have made mistakes. And especially the one that you're married to show grace to them. How many people hold on to hurts for years and years and years, and they ruin years of happiness and joy because they refuse to allow Christ to heal them. Sometimes, rather than allowing Christ to heal, we just try to self-medicate on drugs, sex, relationships. Sometimes it's eating disorders, ritualistic religious practices. We simply bury ourselves in other things. And God wants us to release those things to Him, release that pain, release that hurt, release that wound to Him for miraculous healing, because God sees what we're going through today, and He also knows what brought it on, and He also knows that we're hanging on to it, and He's calling us to let it go. The effects of our wounded areas in our life sometimes bring anger issues and bitterness and controlling others and poor self-image and anxiety and fear and addictions and feelings of worthlessness. Wounds keep us from being the person that God created us to be. And it keeps us from having the relationship that God wants us to have. And sometimes people drop that relationship to run to another one, think that's the answer. Listen, if you're wounded and you're in a relationship, you never allow Jesus to heal you, even if you forego that relationship to go find another one, you're still the same wounded person going out to start another relationship. it won't work. You go like this to do like this. You have to allow Christ to heal you. There are many people who refuse to accept compliments as being genuine. They never truly learn to love. Problem that we have is that we approach a relationship and we don't know how to give love and we don't know how to receive love. There are so many people getting married today that have a wall up. And they don't know how to move beyond the wall. They don't know how to open a door. They don't know how to dismantle the bricks or the wood or the steel or the river, whatever their wall is, whatever it is. And so they're just nitpicking at love a little bit. They don't know how to give it, and they don't know how to receive it. And Christ is wanting in to do a miracle in their life. We also act sometimes as a person who choose to be a servant to others. See, on the surface, it sounds real good, yet in reality, it's actually this codependent attitude. Sometimes people go in a relationship with this codependent attitude. So they want to serve their spouse, do everything for them, and it's really codependency. Why? Because you're doing all these things to have them affirm who you are. So the more you do, the more compliments you get from them, the more affirmation it makes you feel good until you work yourself silly. See, when we are the ones who are in the greatest need and not others, let's admit it, someone hurt us and we have to forgive them. Refuse to release the wound to Christ, and we mistakenly think that by forgiving someone, then they are off the hook. Not at all. We forgive them for our own benefit. We forgive other people so that we can live a healthy life, so that we can have a happy life, so that we can have a healthy marriage. We forgive others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says, stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or even be rude. Instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others just as God has forgiven you because of Christ. When you forgive others, you truly experience this burden lifted off of you and your soul is free. And your love begins to flow freely. You truly understand what that unconditional love is that God pours out and that He desires for us to give to others. When we learn to forgive and give grace, Robert Mueller said, to forgive is the highest, most beautiful form of love. In return, you will receive untold peace and happiness. Maybe this morning you need to forgive yourself for something. Maybe today the wounds that you're carrying for messing up your own life, you need to forgive yourself. We're all capable of saying or doing things that sabotage our relationships. We're all capable of doing and saying things that mess up the very thing that we are trying to build up. You may have been doing really well. Then you let your guard down and you've disappointed yourself and you've disappointed others. Today is a day for you to trust God with your future and forgive yourself and to forgive those around you who contributed to your disappointment. You must not try to move forward in life all the while looking in a rearview mirror. It's amazing if you think about it. Your front windshield is this big. Your rearview mirror is this big. You only need to look back and glance every now and then at where you've been. Boy, you need a clear path of where you're going. In life, we're like that. We can't keep looking back and living in the past of the mistakes that we made. We always have to look forward. We learn from the mistakes. We grow from the mistakes, but we move forward for new lessons to learn in the future. Paul Bowes said it this way. He said, forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. Lewis Smead said it, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discern that the prisoner was you. For or what do you need to forgive yourself for today so that you in your relationships can be happy? What do you need to forgive someone else for so that you in your relationships can be happy? For what do you need to ask for forgiveness? Maybe you are the one who truly needs to seek forgiveness from another. So, Brother Kevin, what if they don't forgive me? Well, it's not on you anymore. You did your part. You sought it out, and you asked forgiveness. You've left it there, and you're going about your business. The fourth thing we see here is we need to follow God's example. We want a happy relationship. We want our marriages to be healthy. Learning God's plan for our relationship is to follow His example. We're to genuinely love and forgive others as God, through Christ Jesus, has invested His love to us. We see in verse 11 and verse 12, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Think about all the things that God has done in your life to show you how much He's loved you. All the things He's poured into you. And so many times He could have walked away, but He didn't. How can we learn from that example? God has given Himself in our lives, continuously teach us how to love others, and especially our spouse. Then which we have of ourselves will affect how we see others. Our self-esteem and our identity affect how we give love and receive love. We can only love other people in the way that we love ourselves. Do we love ourselves like God loves us? See, that's why it's vital that we see ourselves through God's eyes, see ourselves through this unconditional love that God pours into us. When we embrace our Savior and trust His love, then we genuinely love our spouse without conditions and in the freedom to be ourselves. When we understand how God loves us, with all our mess ups, all our foul ups, all our imperfections, how can God love me? You begin to see that He has this pure love for us. It's unjaded, it's untainted, so much so that He sent His only Son to save me. Man, that pure love. How can I take that type of love and pour it into someone else? Only when I'm filled up with God's love. Only when it pours into me and I don't hold it down. I don't try to negotiate with God. I say, God, I here I am. I'm nothing, and You are everything. And He pours into me, and I become a living river for Him. That God's love flows out of me to my wife, to my kids, to the people around me, to my church family, the people I work with. That God's love, His grace, His mercy, I willingly choose to pour out to others. It's amazing. Is it always accepted? No. But it doesn't stop me from being the person I need to be. You know when the pinch comes into relationships? Is when I'm trying to push God aside and take control of it all. Is there any pinch in your relationship? Anything in your marriage that you're saying, well, Brother Kevin, I'm dealing with this. I have a question. Is it too big for God? See, one little sermon's not going to answer all your questions. Matter of fact, you may sit here and say, well, you know, I've heard all this. I know all about this stuff. I've learned this as a pastor. Just preach because someone's going to benefit from it. 95% of the church may say, well, that's not much for me. I didn't get anything out of it. But you know what? That one person that the Holy Spirit is dealing with will walk out of here a changed individual. Just one. Maybe that one is you. Maybe you needed to hear that it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. God is calling you to look to Him for your strength, for your guidance, for your grace. He wants to transform you into the person. And Christian, Maybe it's you. Maybe last week's message is still resonating in you. Have you truly given everything to Christ so that even today He can bring that into your marriage? He can bring that into your relationships. Is there something that you need to give over to God today so that you can truly live out a Valentine's Day this week with a person that you love and are committed to for life? Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, we're not perfect individuals by no means. And God, even when we know what to do, sometimes we just don't do it. God, sometimes we know we need to forgive, and we just don't know how. God, teach us how to let go. Teach us that You are in control. By holding on to things, God, that we'll never know happiness and love as You have given it to us. As long as we fight You for control. Take over our relationships. Take over our marriages, God. Change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.